A 300-pound telephone pole hovers above seven exhausted men. Arms tremble, shoulders burn, someone's grip falters, and the entire team pays the price. This is Log PT at Basic Underwater Demolition / SEAL Training, where privilege, pedigree, and college degrees mean absolutely nothing. The log doesn't care who your father is or what's on your resume. It only asks one question. Will you lift your share or will you let your team down? This brutal exercise strips away pretense and reveals character. Some discover reserves of strength they never knew existed. Others mentally check out, convincing themselves they've reached their limit when they've barely scratched the surface. The quitters are the hardest to watch, not because they lack ability, but because they refuse to believe in themselves enough to keep lifting. Meanwhile, their teammates must carry the extra weight, the log remaining just as heavy as before. This is where warriors are forged, not in the moment of victory, but in the decision to keep going when everything inside screams to stop. The Naval Special Warfare ethos isn't motivational wall art. It's a living contract written in sweat and blood. We expect to lead and be led captures fluid leadership where rank becomes secondary to competence. A junior operator might instantly take charge if the team leader falls, requiring ego death, the willingness to follow someone who moments ago followed you. "I am never out of the fight" isn't bravado. It's a psychological override that activates when rational thought suggests surrender. SEALs survive torture and accomplish impossible missions because they've trained their minds to reject defeat as an option. This mindset transcends combat, applying equally to business failure or personal crisis. The ethos emphasizes serving with honor on and off the battlefield because character forms the foundation of everything else. Technical skills without integrity create liabilities, not assets. Trust, once broken, becomes nearly impossible to restore. The brotherhood spans generations, creating a legacy no individual can claim, but everyone must uphold. When the president needs military action, he states the objective: sink this boat, eliminate that target, not the tactics. This is commander's intent, crystal clear mission goals without micromanagement. The genius lies in what's not said. When plans crumble, operators improvise intelligently because they understand the ultimate objective. Everyone knows what right looks like, enabling creative problem solving when circumstances shift. One executive transformed his organization by stopping the hovering and trusting his trained team. Results improved, morale skyrocketed. This philosophy requires genuine trust, confidence your team is prepared and equipped. As David Ogilvy advised, hire people better than yourself, then let them work. This enables the OODA loop: observe, orient, decide, act, cycling faster than your opponent. For SEALs, orientation comes from relentless training and shared culture. When situations change, they don't need permission to adapt. They already know the mission. They simply execute. April 2009. Three Somali pirates hold Captain Richard Phillips hostage on a lifeboat in rough seas. Three Navy SEAL snipers fire simultaneously. Three shots, three kills. The captain walks free. This is front sight focus. Maintaining laser precision despite chaos and pressure, trained shooters focus on the front sight post, keeping it centered even as the target blurs. Daniel Goleman calls it the troika of focus: on yourself, on others, and on the wider world. Leaders who master this balance avoid being rudderless, clueless, or blindsided. No plan survives first contact with reality. When their helicopter crashed during the bin Laden raid, the SEALs didn't panic. They'd rehearsed similar scenarios dozens of times. Repetition creates memorization. Memorization creates instinct. Instinct enables performance under pressure. One CEO applied this to revolutionize his sales organization, training teams so thoroughly they could adapt confidently when situations demanded it. They learned the difference between confidence, built on preparation, and cockiness, which is built on nothing. Ask average people how many push-ups they can do, and they'll give you a specific number. Ask a SEAL, and you'll hear at least 100. This difference reveals everything. Setting hard numbers creates self-imposed ceilings. When you declare 25, you'll stop at 25. SEALs think in possibilities, not limitations. Teresa, a software company president, shifted from sales targets to, at a minimum, we will achieve XXX. This language change created a culture that consistently exceeds minimums. Teddy Roosevelt embodied this spirit, transforming from a physically weak, asthmatic child into history's bull moose through sheer determination. SEALs constantly ask, are you injured or are you hurt? Injured means you're out. Hurting means you can still fight. During one Leadership Under Fire event, a participant dislocated his shoulder during a night swim, popped it back in himself, and finished the course. Another complained of shoulder pain, but was merely hurting. He needed to push through, not quit. Elite teams require leaders who genuinely care about their people, not as sentiment, but operational necessity. For SEAL leaders, the mission comes first, but people matter most. Hardware doesn't win battles, people do. Caring means investing time and energy, talking, and especially listening. It means understanding values, addressing needs, and ensuring people have necessary resources. Most importantly, it means not putting yourself above others. If there aren't enough cots for everyone, everyone, including the commanding general, sleeps on the ground. General James Mattis exemplified this. Known as both a ruthless battlefield commander and beloved leader, he was once discovered personally standing duty on Christmas Day, having relieved a young officer with family. Sun Tzu understood this 2,500 years ago. Regard your soldiers as your children, and they will follow you into the deepest valleys. The most effective way to show appreciation isn't expensive corporate events, but genuine personal connection, smiles, handshakes, showing interest in employees' lives. When people feel truly valued, they exceed expectations. At Buds, a brass ship's bell offers the easy way out. Ring it 3 times and the suffering ends. Hot showers, warm beds, comfort. But also, no glory. No brotherhood, no becoming who you're capable of being. A cartoon captures this spirit. A crane struggles to swallow a fat frog headfirst, but the frog, half swallowed, has clamped both hands around the crane's neck in a death grip. The caption reads, "Never give up." This is resilience, not superhuman strength, but refusing to accept defeat. History's greatest entrepreneurs faced multiple failures, but never quit. Henry Ford, Walt Disney, Richard Branson. Pete Rose made up for less natural talent with sheer determination. Winston Churchill said it perfectly. Never give in, never give in, never, never. Warriors who change everything keep their hands around the crane's neck, who lift the log one more time, who refuse to ring the bell. Excellence isn't a gift. It's a choice made again and again when every fiber screams to quit. That's when legends are forged.